and has actually got charisma. Your meaning? I mean, he's so dreadful, he fascinates people. Like those stories he was telling. Did you notice how people kept encouraging him because they couldn't actually believe anyone would tell jokes like that in mixed company? Actually, I rather liked the one about the very small man playing the piano. And his table manners. Did you notice them? No, exactly. And the smell, don't forget the smell. Not so much bad as odd. Actually, I found that after a few minutes the nose shuts down, and that my point is that in some strange way he attracts people. Like a public hanging. There was a period of reflective silence. Good-humoured little tit, though, in his way. Not too bright, though. Give him his pint of beer and a plate of whatever those things with toenails were, and he seems as happy as a pig in muck. I think that's somewhat insulting. I'm sorry. I've known some splendid pigs. Indeed, but I can certainly see him drinking his beer and eating feet while he signs the royal proclamations. Yes, indeed. Do you think he can read? Does it matter? There was some more silence, filled with the busy racing of minds. Then someone said, "Another thing, we won't have to worry about establishing a royal succession that might be inconvenient." "Why do you think that?" "Can you see any princess marrying him?" "Well, they have been known to kiss frogs." "Frogs, I grant you. And of course power and royalty are powerful aphrodisiacs." "How powerful, would you say?" More silence. Then, "Probably not that powerful." "He should do nicely." "Splendid." "Dragon did well. I suppose the little tit isn't really an earl, by any chance?" "Don't be silly." Cherie Littlebottom sat awkwardly on the high stool behind the desk. All she had to do, she'd been told, was check the patrols off and on duty when the shift changed. A few of the men gave her an odd look, but they said nothing, and she was beginning to relax when the four dwarfs on the King's Way beat came in. They stared at her. And her ears. Their eyes travelled downwards. There was no such concept as a modesty panel in Ankh-Morpork. All that was usually visible under the desk was the bottom half of Sergeant Colon. Of the large number of good reasons for shielding the bottom half of Sergeant Colon from view, its potential for engendering lust was not among the top 10.
"That's female clothes, isn't it?" said one of the dwarfs.
Cherie swallowed. Why, now, she'd sort of assumed Angua would be around. People always calmed down when she smiled at them. It was really amazing.
"Well," she quavered, so what? I can if I want to."
"And on your ear."
Well?
"That's my mother never even. It's disgusting. And in public too. What happens if kids come in?"
"I can see your ankles," said another dwarf.
"I'm going to speak to Captain Carrot about this," said the third. "I never thought I'd live to see the day."
Two of the dwarfs stormed off towards the locker room. Another one hurried after them, but hesitated as he drew level with the desk. He gave Cherie a frantic look.
Nice ankles, though," he said, and then ran.
The fourth dwarf waited until the others had gone, and then sidled up. Cherie was shaking with nervousness.
"Don't you say a thing about my legs," she said, waving a finger.
The dwarf looked around hurriedly and leaned forward.
Is that lipstick?"
"Yes, what about it?"
The dwarf leaned forward even more, looked around again, this time conspiratorially, and lowered her voice.
Could I try it?"
Angua and Carrot walked silently through the fog, except for Angua's occasional crisp and brief directions. Then she stopped. Up until then, Dorful's scent, or at least the fresh scent of old meat and cow dung, had headed quite directly back to the slaughterhouse district.
"It's gone up this alley," she said. "That's nearly doubling back. And it was moving faster, and there's a lot of humans, and
sausages?" Carrot started to run. A lot of people and the smell of sausages meant a performance of the street theatre that was life in Ankh-Morpork. There was a crowd further up the alley. It had obviously been there for some time, because at the rear was a familiar figure with a tray, craning to see over the tops of the heads.
"What's going on, Mr. Dibbler?"
Oh, hello, Captain. They've got a golem.
Who have?
Some blokes. They've just fetched the hammers.
There was a press of bodies in front of Carrot. He put both hands together and rammed them between a couple of people and then moved them apart.